All right, so you're just sitting around in your ratty T-shirt and a pair of shorts. I know. But imagine this small theatre of the mind. Imagine wearing something that right now had the ability to make you, let's think, feel light rain falling on your shoulder. Maybe a breath or a rush of wind. Well, such a suit exists. It does. It's called a haptic Tesla suit. It may well be something of a pinnacle in wearable, well, artificial reality, perhaps, technology. Let's investigate. Dmitry Mikhalchuk and Owen Keane are the co-founders of the Tesla suit, and they join us now. Dmitry, Owen, welcome.
Good morning. Many thanks.
We have to begin with the observation that it's nice to see Tesla is not the solely co-opted word of Elon Musk. It's not part of your organisation.
No, we admire Elon's company greatly, but we have no association with his company.
Just to clear that up, how would you describe this wearable technology for someone, and that's all of us listening, I suspect, that's never seen this or perhaps heard of it?
So it comes in two parts, so the top jacket and trousers. And basically, we created the simplest possible way of interacting between the human body and a computer. So it wears like a normal sports suit, and yet it is capable of transmitting sensations. It is capable of picking up biometrical feedback and also tracking our movements.
By sports suit, I'm guessing you mean something sort of lycra-ish, running sort of kit.
Yes, in that kind of way.
How does it work?
So we use small electrical signals to output the sensations onto the surface of the skin. So we're communicating with nervous endings and the muscles of the body. And thus, we just recreate the impulses that our brain would otherwise send to our skin to feel things around.
What sort of stimuli are you replicating?
It can be anything from light touch, the light breeze, all the way to heavy impact. So we've seen scenarios where rugby players were being tackled and we could even move the body.
Why?
The why is an interesting one. We, back in the day when we conceived the idea, we thought of an entertainment industry. So we thought games and movies would be so much nicer if we could actually feel what is going on. A few years down the line, we've realized that what we have invented has so much more as a technology. Having developed it as a product, we saw a potential in medical field for rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. We saw a potential to help pro athletes to train better, and many other applications within the industrial training on health and safety.
It'd still be pretty fun in games, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would be, yes.
So the suit can take your involvement in a game to a whole new level. It's so much more immersive. The body is perhaps the single largest input that we have. So if you can address multiple parts of the body, you're providing far more stimulus than just the eyes or the ears, perhaps.
It can make me feel like you're setting me on fire.
Most definitely. We can have the ability to heat areas of the body across the suit. We can raise your body temperature by up to 20 degrees, not for long, but we can. You probably wouldn't want it to be more than just a few moments, but it can be far more involving.
Well, a couple of questions from that. I mean, one is that direct effect in the wrong hands could be potentially injurious.
Well, we strive to avoid that because we run training courses for our integrators and our developers who make the applications. Yep. And we're very concerned that we make sure that they don't allow anybody to wear the suit which has a contraindication.
And yet, and this is sort of an interesting thing here. I mean, our bodies, our minds are intricate piece of apparatus, and our mind reacts to physical stimuli. If you may be telling me that I'm being burned, my mind will almost certainly think that I am. Can that injury not be physical but be psychological?
So we actually, this is this was a desired effect behind the intensity of the training that we provide to various different industries. So when we spoke at NASA, for example, talking about preparing people for space travel and eventualities in space, we were talking about that in order to train a good operative who would react fast, who would always strive to complete the mission rather than save himself, he would need to go through a very strong, like, highly influential event. Mm-hmm. Now, it wouldn't be, shall we say, kind to put everybody through an accident first, real accident, that is, so they could train better to save themselves.
Okay, yes.
So certain cases require exactly that. So we untrain people of their biases, and then we retrain people to react fast, act fast, remember what to do in difficult situations, because many are prone to stress, and so once people are in stress, they lock up, they don't really perform at their best. Now, talking about the consumer market, obviously, we look at all possibilities, and so we make sure that the product is safe and there will be no injury coming out of, enjoying a game or two.
Well, that's the interesting thing. I mean, let's take gaming as an example here. And that is a situation where so much gaming is involved in acts of violence. Really, there's a whole strand of gaming which is about running after people and shooting them and being shot at. You know, in that's too brief a description, but you get what I mean. Mm-hmm. If we are involved in that to such an extent that not only do we see, but we now feel what's going on there, that is taking our minds so utterly into that place. I wonder how readily then we walk away from that artificial scenario if we've actually, for all intents and purposes, lived through that.
There is a sort of thought that reality and perception, particularly when you're particularly involved, if you've lived it, why isn't it real?
Hmm.
So the more immersed you are in that experience, the more convincing that experience is, whether it just be through the haptic inputs, but also the visual and the auditory, that's involving you. And that's actually making you believe that what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're feeling are the reality.
Which I wonder is not, I was going to use the word morally, but that's probably wrong. But if that's a slightly problematic position.
But if we think about it, when we're teaching kids, do we not allow them to fail at what they do, to hurt themselves a little bit, so they understand what the implications are in real world once they leave the parents' houses, that the world is different? It's not all, you know, safety around, you know, the comfort of the parents looking after them. So potentially in games, if somebody experiences what that would feel like, so you mentioned that violence is coming out of it. Well, perhaps, maybe, because there are no implications to the players. So they participate, it's a flat experience for them, heightens their senses for a short period of time, and they get nothing but adrenaline. Now, imagine if you're participating, you hit someone, somebody hits back. Suddenly you understand that these are real people, and they hurt as the way you hurt. And so that may actually make things much better.
See, Dimitri, you've had this conversation before. You have.
I've been thinking about it a lot. So, yeah, the moral aspect is always at the back of our heads, as we are actually touching the body. So it's very important to think about it well in advance.
Speaking of touching the body, it would seem inevitable that this sort of technology will be co-opted by the sex industry.
Well, yeah, the sex industry has a reputation for immersing itself in all new technologies. So far, we haven't had anything to do with them. However, you know, I'm sure there are people who may want to take a similar technology and apply it in whichever way they like. But to date, that's not us.
How does it feel? I mean, that's interesting. How does it feel to be creators of a technology whose applications are so open-ended and, you know, potentially awkward?
Well, I don't know about the awkward bit, but the challenge that we face is awesome. We get approached by people from all types of industries and all types of activities, and it's really inspiring to see how their imagination has identified the opportunity to use the suit that we've created. And it's actually really inspiring for our team, who've worked very hard to get the product to the stage that it's at. And we're just really excited to explore the opportunities with our potential clients.
It's an extraordinary thing. And look, congratulations to you both. I'm dying to try one on, perhaps when they're,
thank you.
When they're in shops.
We'd be delighted to share that with you. And if you wanted to try it, we'd be very happy to. We'd just like to say many thanks to our friends at The Singularity for inviting us to Sydney. We've been delighted to show it to everybody. And we've had such a warm welcome.
Dimitri and Owen, it's been intriguing to have this chat. Thank you so much. Dimitri Mikalchuk and Owen Keane. And as Owen says there, they were in town in Sydney as part of Singularity U Australia Summit. That was on in Sydney. The suit was on display there. The Tesla suit. You going to try one? What would it make you feel? This is Blueprint on RN.